Well, good morning. How's everybody today? Good. You're awake? You ready to go? Thank you for the two of you that are ready. Everyone else, there's coffee, and I think there's some extra caffeine shots. If you just need the caffeine shots, grab them. Moms that are in the room, you probably, that's what you need, just a cup full of caffeine shots. Wouldn't that be great? But instead, we're giving them to your kids while they're in our kids' ministry. So they'll be drinking those. But we are so glad that you're here today. We're glad to be celebrating Mother's Day. Before we dismiss Kidmo, we've got a couple of things we want to do. And as we start, one thing we want to recognize is that today is really a special day for a lot of people. Because most of us have a mother, you know, or have, you know, in our lives in some way or the other. Because if we didn't, you and I wouldn't be here, right? They're crucial to the way life works in the world. What we also know, and if you're a student of behavior, we also know that moms give a tremendous amount of themselves to their families and to their children. And the amount of work that they do, it stuns me. It's always fun to see someone volunteer that doesn't have kids for the first time in our kids ministry, and the hour's up, and they're like, it's like, hey, listen, this is 24/7. You know, this way it is 24/7 in some households. But we are really thankful for the example that many of you have given. But we also recognize that holidays like Mother's Day can be have a mixed bag for different people. Because some at this Mother's Day, it is a celebration. It's a celebration of new life. It's a celebration where you get to be together with your family and the kids are together. And it's just truly, it's a wonderful day. You've been looking forward to this day. And for some of you moms, you already have a full day of cooking planned, which I think negates the concept of Mother's Day. But I know that's the way these things work out. But I know that there are others that are in the room. And for some of you, Mother's Day is a very difficult day. It's a day that you recognize that it is not exactly the way you want it to be. Either you've lost a mother at some time in your life, or you've lost another family member, and it just doesn't feel like Mother's Day is an all-inclusive. It's just not a feel-good moment for you, and we recognize that, and we want to honor those that are in here that are mourning on Mother's Day. We also recognize that for some of you that Mother's Day is a time to remember wonderful memories with your families, but for some of you, you don't have those wonderful memories, and so for you, it's also a mixed bag. But what we want to settle on is that we know that there are so many wonderful examples of God's love in our midst. So many wonderful examples of people that are giving of themselves, not just to their own families, but they impact families around them, because there's just something amazing about a mother's love that spreads out beyond their own family unit. Amen? And we're very thankful for them. And so we have some gifts we want to give to you. And we've got one for actually not just if you're a mother, but every woman that's in the room that I'm going to tell you about in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we want to recognize some special moms, and we want to do this a little differently. And rather than giving flowers and something like that, I've got a book for you, because you've got plenty of time to read, right? Exactly. Now, this isn't just any book. The title of this is a devotional book by Christine Kane. It's entitled Living Life Undaunted, because the three mothers we're going to give these to, they need to live life undaunted, and at times life can be daunting. So I've got a helper here. This is Avery. Avery, you want to walk up here you can actually stand right here. Avery's nervous. Can y'all give Avery a hand? All right. Avery is going to be my deliverer, okay? And I don't mean my savior, but he's going to deliver the books. All right. Now, in order to do this, we want to do this, you know, politically correct. We don't want to offend anybody, but there are certain questions we have to ask to know who to give these books to. And there are three particular that we want to give that they can live life undaunted when at times they feel life is very daunting. So here's what we want to find out. We want to find out how many of you are still changing diapers. Who still has a child who is changing diapers? And if your child is 18 years old, it does not count. All right. So we've got a couple still changing diapers. Do we have, how about 2 years old? We got a runoff here. Two people, that's it. Listen, if we only have two parents still changing diapers in here, we need to get together and change some diapers for them. Okay, we can do it. We can do it. All right, so, okay, so how old are we here? 15 months? Two-year-old and 15 months. So what you're saying is, I'm changing diapers for two. Is that what you're saying? Okay, all right. So this is Stephanie back here, Josh's wife. They've got two great kids. So do you see her hand where she just raised? Can you run that back to her? If you can just get close and hurl it and hit the target, that would be fine too. No, don't really do that, Avery, because then I'll get in trouble. All right, here's what we want to do now. We want to find out who has to deal with the most frustration in life. Okay, let me give a few prerequisites for this award, all right? Okay, I don't have enough for everyone. But and here's how we want to do it. We want to find out who has to care for the most children in the room, all right? I think we've got a lock, to be honest. I think we've got a lock, but let's see. How many in here have at least 15 children? Okay, well, maybe we don't have a lock. All right, so what about three? How many we got three in the room? We got several. Okay, let's just go ahead and bump it on up to six. How many we got six in the room? We got two. Unbelievable. So how about seven? Eight? Seven. Okay, you guys need to live life undaunted with seven children, okay? So we are so glad that you guys are here. Do you see where they were? Okay, they've got seven kids. They're very fragile. So don't throw this one at them. Just place it in their hands. So, oh, man. When we had three, I thought life is over. We're now outnumbered. Seven. Wow. And so we're glad that you guys are here with us. Now we want to find, this is where things get a little sticky, okay? We want to find out who has the most experience as a mom, okay? Who has the most experience? In other words, you've licked this thing. I want to know who has the oldest child in the room. Does anyone in the room have a child that's at least, oh, we'll say 20 years old? Couple. I don't see my mom's in the room yet. Okay, so I'm safe. She is. She didn't raise her hand, though. Thanks, Mom. I feel, appreciate that. All right, how about let's go ahead and bump it up. Do we have any kids that are at least, we'll say, 35? Let's get them up there. We got to see them. How about 45? Got any that are 45? We got a couple. How about 50? 49? 8? 48 right here. So we're so glad that you guys are here with us. And we're not going to say anything about your children being 48 years old. I don't know how it's possible to have a child that's 48 years old at your age. It's not possible. It's not possible. So we're so glad that you're here with us. All right, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss Kidmo, and you guys can head over to Kidmo. If you are a guest and you have a second through fifth grader, this is their time to go. And if you're a Kidmo leader, you can go. If you're a guest and you'd like to see where you're sending your second through fifth grader, just follow the line. There's no Kool-Aid or anything back there, but they'll have a great time of just some games, worship, teaching in small group. That's just a good time for them to get away and do their thing while we talk about some stuff here. Today I'm going to talk to you a little about several things, and we are very thankful for our mothers. I'm very thankful for my mother. I'm very thankful for the examples that we have. And one of the things I've had the opportunity to do is I've had the opportunity to watch a lot of moms. Now, I know this is going to come to a shock to some of you in the room, but I actually don't have any experience whatsoever being a mother. Zero. That may surprise you and may disappoint you on the sermon that's about to happen. But regardless, I've watched a lot. And the truth is, if you're observant, you will learn a lot about what's going on in the world around you just by watching other people. And one of the things that I've observed a lot throughout my lifetime is I've been able to watch moms. I've been able to watch it from the perspective of a child. And you know that if you have kids, your kids think that you don't know a thing when they're a child, right? Once they reach a certain age. And then hopefully they come back at some point. I've also had the opportunity to watch a mom as a husband. And it's been an incredible thing to watch, and I've learned so much from watching Deidre because, I mean, she does things so gracefully and easily, and she looks at me wondering when I'm going to start doing things gracefully and easily as well, and I don't have an answer for her. But I have the opportunity not just to watch the women in my own family, but also have the opportunity to watch many of you. And there are so many things that we can learn in the ways that God has gifted females within the world. And for guys, this is an opportunity for us not just to honor and to celebrate, it's an opportunity for us to recognize that God has blessed the women in our midst in a way that we get to not only benefit from, but we can learn from ourselves. And so I want to share a few of these things with you. I want to share a few things more specifically today about how do we hear from God? Because here's one of the things that I recognize in most moms. If you want to make their day, have their kids spend time with them, right? Can I get an amen? Only one person feels that way. Let me rethink this sermon. All right. But I've noticed that especially as kids get older, one of the things mothers love is to hear from their kids, to spend time with them, to talk with them, to know what's going on in their life, and to develop a continually growing relationship with their kids. In fact, you know, you deal with it at different places along the way. If you've got really young ones, you kind of mourn some of the things, giving up the diapers. I've really never heard a person say, man, I really miss the diaper stage. I've never one time heard that in my life. But I have heard and I have felt those longings for those days when they would used to come and cuddle and sit with you, right? And then they begin to grow up, and then they're preteens, and then they're teenagers, and then they're, you know, beginning their young adult life, and things begin to change, right? There's one thing that moms love, I know of, and that is when their kids spend time with them. And what I also know is that this mimics very closely the relationship God desires with all of us. What I also know is that moms are an incredible source of wisdom for their children. See, dads are off in the corner throwing the kids up as high as they can go, wondering if they can touch the ceiling without throwing them just a little too hard, while moms are giving all the good advice, right? That's just how it, maybe I'm just talking about our house, but that's just how it tends to work out. And I know that for moms, there's a lot of responsibility to speak wisdom into the lives of their children. And I want you to know that as we come together this morning, what I want us to find is that is truly one of the ways God has demonstrated his character through moms. Because very much God desires to speak into our lives and for us to hear from him. It develops what is an ever-growing, intimate, personal relationship with him. And as I've talked to so many, I don't know, in not just recently, but just we have just seen a move across the church in the last several decades of people feeling that God is somehow distant or not speaking to them. We've also seen this incredible pace of life that is just increasing all around us, where we all have so many things to do. In fact, some of you right now are not listening to a word I'm saying. You are outlining your schedule for the rest of the day or the week even. This pace of life is just ever growing, and it is consuming so many people that these deep-founded, intimate relationships are beginning to become a thing of the past because we just don't have time for each other anymore. And so what I want to share with you is what I think is a very important principle in having a relationship with God. And that is, not only does God want to speak to you, he wants you to hear what he has to say. See, there are so many wonderful things about being able to sit down with somebody and literally talk with them, to literally know them, to know what this person thinks and feels, to know what's going on in their minds. For some of you, you have that with your peers and you enjoy that time. It may be over a coffee. It may be over doing something fun. It may be watching the ball game at your house. Who knows what it is, but you have times with your peers that it's just, man, it's just good times, right? It's fun. I remember for Deidre and I, some of our best times were in college and seminary. I mean, just people in the same stage of life as us. We enjoyed our time together. We had a blast. We could do whatever. That was pre-kids. We could do whatever we wanted when we wanted. And it was just a good time. But there's just something about connecting with somebody. And I want you to know that for many in the world, they believe that Christianity is about an action list of things to do. But I want you to know that not just in your family, but in your relationship with God, the important aspect of Christianity is that you get to know God and you get to commune with him regularly. Regularly. First slide that's up that you see, God loves you with a passionate love and he wants to have an intimate relationship with you.
It's something that we see in mothers much more than we see in fathers, much more than we see in those that lives are completely focused on what's going on in their life. Those that are outwardly focused who say, a relationship with you is crucial. It's important. And I will spend what time it takes to have that kind of relationship.
Whenever we had our first child, whenever Jake was born, Deidre laughs about this. I think she laughs to give me a break. I don't think she's really laughing when she's saying it. But when Jake was born, I mean, he would cry. And, you know, some of you have more than one child. Maybe you can relate. He would cry and I was there. I don't care what time of day it was, what time of night it was. I was there. And then Emma came along. And I was there most of the time. Right? And then Jonathan came along and he just never cried. Ever. At night. Deidre says he did, but I don't think that he really did because I never heard it, you know. But one thing that I've noticed about watching Deidre is that no matter how tired she is, she always has time for her kids. No matter how tired you may be, you always have time for those things that are important for you. And no matter how busy or big you think God is, he always has time for you. And there are so many today, they feel like my life is not worthy of God's time. I'm not accomplished enough. I've made too many mistakes. My life is not worthy of God's attention. I've not done what I think he wants me to do, and so he's ignoring me. And I want you to know that bottom line, God loves you with a passionate love, and he wants an intimate relationship with you. Every single person that has ever breathed, God wants a powerful, intimate relationship with you. Why am I talking about this on Mother's Day? This is an opportunity for us to see some of the ways God has built his character into some of us. But I also want you to know that for us in this room and navigating the waters of this world, whether you're raising kids or you're navigating them for yourself, there is a crucial need to hear from God. In fact, one of the things that I'm most frustrated with in the world of church and the world of training new ministers is this is one aspect that you can fully go through and get a degree in ministry and you cannot at all know how to hear from God. In fact, what I was trained to do was to find out what everyone else who heard from God thinks and just think whatever they thought. And the truth is there are too many people today that are going through life based on what someone else has said rather than hearing from God himself. And if that is the case, you are missing one of the most glorious parts of having a relationship with God. That he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to address your circumstances, your situations, your struggles, your heartaches. God wants to speak directly to you. I don't want to negate that God will speak through others. But I'm concerned that we have too long forgotten that God can speak to us individually. And I think that's crucial. It's hurting a relationship that we can have with him. Romans 8, 37, 39. I'm going to give you a few scriptures today, and I'm going to go through these kind of quickly. But I want you to see what scripture says about this. And it says, I'm reading from the ESV. It says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come or powers nor depths nor heights nor depths nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate us or you from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate you from his love. How many times do children do something that want to, on the outside it would separate them from our love, but it never does. It's impossible to separate a child from the love of a parent. In the same way, we cannot be separated from the love of God. "The most consistent desire I see in mothers is to have a close relationship with their kids. She puts up with her husband, but she wants to have that relationship with her kids." And why is hearing from God, why does that matter? Why does this matter? Why can't we just come and do this thing and hear what we need to hear and get our list for the week and get pumped up and go out and do the things we need to do and we'll come back next week and do the same? Why do we need to hear from God? Why can't we read just the latest Bible study or the latest book or the latest pastor or the latest whatever? Why can't we just listen to what they say, do what they say, and we can go on about our lives? Why does it matter that we personally need to hear from God? And
The list here is too long. But the main thing I can say is God is life. God is life. And when we separate ourselves from God, then we separate ourselves from life. One of the saddest things of you in the world is somebody who is going through the motions of living, but yet they are not alive. Amen? You know what I'm saying? You seen those? You felt it? Do you feel it yourself? I'm going through the motions. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but I do not feel alive. I feel like I'm dying inside. God is life, and when we cut off the opportunity to hear from Him, we cut off the opportunity to live life at its fullest. God is life. Not only is God life, when God speaks to you, He speaks life into you. And I can't tell you how many times within my life that I've just been on the cliff of saying, God, I give up. And God speaks, and there's life. We've got to hear what He has to say, because God is life. Not only do they bring life, the words of God also bring purpose to you. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody, and I've learned this because I've struggled with this for so long within my own life. They do not like the path they're on in life, and so they are struggling with what is the next step. And I have found time and time again, you don't have to be where you want to be, but you got to know that you're moving forward, right? You got to at least feel like there's hope. You got to feel like there's purpose in life. There's purpose for this action. I can deal with a bad job if I know it leads to something else. I can deal with a rough time in marriage or in family if I know there's going to be something better down the road. I can deal with a disappointment here, but I got to know there's a reason for the disappointment, and it's not just going to overwhelm me. See, when God speaks, He also speaks purpose to you. Spending time with God develops what I believe is the most important relationship with your life, and it will impact every other relationship you have more than anything else you can possibly do. It is crucial to be connected to the Creator. But I also know that there is a huge difference for those that are hearing from God and those are accepting a lesser purpose in their life. That lesser purpose being something that their friends came up with, that generationally they have accepted, and so they just accept it because everyone else has accepted it. A purpose that is focused just on themselves and the realization of what they want for life, and it's a lesser purpose that leads nowhere. God's words never leave you without purpose. They never leave you sucking the life out of you. It doesn't matter if God is saying, I want you to step out there and put your neck on the line. When God speaks, it brings peace. And it brings comfort. And it brings excitement. Those are some of the reasons why I think that hearing from God matters. So what does God say? What does He speak? Like, one of the things that many of us need today is we need wisdom. We need wisdom. We're not intentionally trying to derail life, but we make some pretty bad decisions in life, right? Some decisions we can come back from. Some decisions follow us for the rest of our lives. And how many of us could say, if at this point in my life, last week, last month, 15 years ago, if I had done this differently, then life would have been different. If I was just had some more wisdom then. But you know, God speaks wisdom. He doesn't always speak in the way we want and doesn't always say what we want Him to say, but He always speaks wisdom. Always speaks wisdom. It's one of the things He speaks. One of the reasons that some people reject hearing from God and instead listen to speakers and authors and spiritual movies instead is that God also speaks discipline. It feels good to be disciplined, doesn't it? We love it. When I was a kid, I used to ask my parents, can I have a spanking? I really didn't say that. I mean, if you think I really said that. No, I didn't. I just lied from the pulpit. Nobody likes discipline, right? When you're at work and somebody says you didn't do something, but you actually did do it and you get disciplined, it doesn't feel good, does it? Even if you didn't do the thing you were supposed to do and you get disciplined, it doesn't feel good, does it? Nobody likes discipline. And oftentimes when God speaks, He speaks discipline.
not because he wants to hurt us, not because he wants to tell us we're terrible, not because he's withdrawing his love, because we have equated discipline with the withdrawal of love, which is not true. But he does it because he knows that if he doesn't correct our path, the path we're headed will lead us to despair. So he directs us to what leads us back to life. And at times that doesn't feel good because at times we don't agree with God. I know that's a realization for some of us. We don't always agree with God. But God will often speak discipline. We've made a mistake, God will speak discipline. We've hurt instead of help, God will speak discipline. We've thought of just ourselves and no one else, God will speak discipline. We've ignored the teachings of Jesus, God will discipline. He will do that, not to hurt, not to withdraw love, but to put you on the path that leads to life. And if you're a parent, you know what that's like. We're kind of out of the stage now. We're not exactly out of the stage, but we're on the tail end of it, of having to tell our kids not to run out in traffic, right? We still got one that he's still so exuberant. He doesn't know what's going on. Pew! Did you look? Yeah. No, you didn't. Well. And you know what the motive behind that discipline is. Because we don't want to scrape our kid off the ground, right? We've seen it too many times. We don't want to have to deal with that pain and that hurt. And so we discipline not to withdraw love or not to say we don't love you, but to say, man, we love you so much. We do not want this to happen to you. So we're going to help you learn this so you can live. In the same way, God disciplines us not to withdraw, but he sees more than we see. He puts us on the path. God will speak discipline. One of the things I love is God will speak hope into your life. You know, if you read through Scripture, Scripture does not say anything about how great and easy your life will be. It does say how great your life will be. It doesn't say it will be easy. But in the midst of that very difficult time that you may go through, God brings hope. In our small group this week, we shared some prayer requests that one of our friends, 1040 Connections, that many of you are familiar with, had shared this week, and some things going on the other side of the world. While we were working about getting our work schedules together and doing, you know, planning something fun for the week and getting Mother's Day stuff together for the weekend, there were literally believers on the other side of the world that were being killed. In Syria, prayer requests came through that they were coming through and wiping out churches and any believers. And so there was this prayer request that had come through that just simply said, we're headed to the church, to the place where they were going to destroy it. And they said, if we're going to die, we would rather die worshiping Jesus than running away. See, God brings hope even in the most despairing situations. He speaks hope to people. No matter what can happen in this world, the greatest hope we have is that there is something after this world that is so much better. What is so difficult for us is we have no frame of reference. Even if you've been to see the movie Heaven is for Real, we have no frame of reference for what it's going to be like. We would love to have a glimpse. We would love to be able to put it up on the screen and just say, hey, this is what it's going to be like. You know, kind of like a, you know, timeshare announcement, or commercial. This is what it's going to be like. But we don't have that. But what we have instead is we have hope. And when God speaks, he speaks hope, even when you're in a very difficult time of life. See, for our family, another key difference, and you're seeing why our kids are so well adjusted, is because of their mother, not because of me, as I share more and more about our family. But when our kids have issues, I'm solving them, right? Anybody else? If you're a male in the room, you do the same thing. Fess up. I'm solving the problems, and I'm telling them what they did wrong. But what's their mom doing? She's giving hope, grace, encouragement. I'm not saying that both aren't needed. I'm saying one is a lot better than the other. God speaks hope in the midst of difficult situations. He speaks grace whenever you are feeling guilty. God also speaks promise. He makes promises to you that he keeps, and we can read those throughout Scripture. God also speaks purpose when you don't know what your life means or what it's supposed to be about. God speaks purpose into your life. Those are some of the things God speaks. So who does God speak to? There's a big misunderstanding in this. Who does God speak to? Number one, God does speak to everyone. Every single person God speaks to in some way. But there's a huge misunderstanding in what God communicates. See, there are many people that believe, I don't know God, but if I pray, God will hear my prayers and he will answer them. And there's a side of me that wants to say, yes, that's exactly what God will do. But that is not what Scripture says. Scripture says literally every person will be able to hear the nudge from God that says, I hear I'm standing at the door and knocking. Open it and I will come in. Every person God reaches out to say, I am here. I want to be a part of your life. Will you listen and let me? And until a person says, yes, come in, I will let you. That is how God speaks to them. But then something amazing does when he comes in. It's like the little kid that all of a sudden becomes a chatterbox once he gets to know you. God begins to speak regularly about all kinds of things within your life. You're thinking, Mark, I don't know that I believe that. Isaiah 59:2, it says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. It doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't feel graceful. The point is, God is sending a consistent message for those that don't know him. Know me. Consistently sending that message. His voice is saying the same thing to them over and over. Know me. And others have taken this to an extreme to say, because you have sin in your life, God will not speak to you. Well, then God would not speak to anyone. But God does speak to those who recognize they need a Savior. I want to give you just some real quick things today. How does God speak? Because that's really the meat of it, isn't it? How do we hear from God? Isn't that really where we are? Some of you are in the middle of a job crisis. How do I hear from God? Some of you are in the middle of a life crisis. How do I hear from God? Some of you have been praying for something over and over and over again. How do I hear from God? I want an answer. How do I hear this voice that is supposed to be so consistently speaking to me, yet I cannot point to the last time I heard him say something? And I guarantee you, with these things that I'm sharing with you, if you will put them in place in your life, you will hear from God. You will hear from God. First one is so very simple. The first one is God is going to speak to those who are listening. He speaks very quietly. Whenever our kids are in the back seat and they've got their whatever they're doing, I don't know, iPods or whatever, DSs or whatever they've got back there. I don't know. Some of you guys, like your kids have like, you know, full function laptops in the back and they're you know, taking over a small country while you're driving to the store. It's amazing what these kids can do with this stuff. How many times have we said something? Sometimes, Dad, let's be honest, we do the exact same thing. And they talk, hell yeah, and they didn't hear a word you had to say. They said they did, right? Yeah, I know. I heard exactly what you said, something about something, you know. God speaks quietly. God speaks to those who listen. It's so very basic. This is a basic principle in all of communication, by the way. One of the things that we do in marriage counseling, to be honest, one of the primary issues people have with the marriages is an inability to communicate with each other. And really, as our society is so busy and we're so, you know, completely enthralled in social media and not face-to-face communication, the ability for people to communicate with others is such a staggering low right now that it is really depressing. It's a staggering low, the ability for people to communicate to each other. We have all kinds of diagnoses for things that, quite honestly, could be addressed by just face-to-face time with each other. God speaks to those who are listening. He speaks quietly. He doesn't just boom out there. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, some people say if God would speak like he did to Moses, if there would be a burning bush, then I would totally do what he said. But you need to go back and be a student of Scripture to find that every place that God boomed his voice was at a time he had called that person to what we, the rest of us, would consider an impossible task.
God often speaks in booming tones when he has called you to the most ridiculously impossible tasks within your life. It's not that God does not ever do that. It's that there are very few examples throughout history where God has chosen to intervene in that moment in that audible way or visual at times way. There are very few moments that that has ever happened. Will it happen again? It could, likely will, whenever Jesus returns, but we may or may not see that. If you're waiting for your ears to ring with a voice that you don't recognize, but somehow you know is God, that is not honestly how God speaks to most people, while it certainly he could. But he speaks very quietly for those who are willing to listen. Revelation 3:22, it says this. This is literally a prophecy about what is to come. And it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Do we have an ear to hear is our first question. Do we have an ear to hear what God says? The second way that God speaks is he speaks through Scripture. God speaks through Scripture. This is one of the things that makes us so different from everything that we read about in the New Testament, because they did not have the New Testament in the New Testament. Shocking, I know. But they didn't have it. And so the Holy Spirit was doing some crazy stuff in the lives of people because they did not have the Word of God presented to them in this way. It was written down many years and at times decades later for us. And we're so thankful that they did. But God speaks through Scripture. We read in 2 Timothy 3. It says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That feels good. That's a Mother's Day sermon right there, isn't it? While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And he's literally here talking about the Old Testament. How much more the New Testament gives us as well. But we don't ignore the Old Testament, because that's what they're talking about here. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Many of you heard that before. Let me say this, bottom line, and this is all that some of you need. The number one way God will speak to you throughout your life is through Scripture. The number one way. We are so lazy today. I mean, we want our books read to us. We don't even want to watch the book. We want to come out with a movie about it, for crying out loud. I don't want to read a book. We are some of the laziest listeners in the world. We don't pursue stuff anymore. We just want it. We just sit here and wait for it. Oh, come on, I'm ready. And we want God to speak and show up and have a 5-minute conversation that God wants. We will actually spend years developing within you. I want to tell you now that the number one way you'll hear from God is through Scripture. The number one and number two and number five and number 10 way is how God will speak to you through Scripture. The vast majority of his voice will be remind you of the things that you have learned in his word. I can't tell you how many times I have experienced this in my life. People have said, have you heard the voice of God? I don't know if he's a baritone or a bass. I'm assuming he's like a super low bass. That's the way all the movies have him portrayed. So I'm assuming that's what his voice is like. I don't know. I've never heard the audible voice. I feel like God has called us to some great things, but I certainly don't believe that he has called me to the kind of thing that he's going to shout out his voice like he did for Moses. But God speaks through his word. Time and time again, I'll go to him and just in the midst of discouragement or despair or just, God, I got to know, and he brings Scripture to mind. You're thinking, well, that's just you. You're coming up with that. It's because you studied. That's not God. Yeah, it is too. There are times that I go and I just have to have time with God. And there are times that I will go and I will walk or I will sit or I will sing or I will do something that is focused completely on him. And in the midst of my prayer, his word will come to mind to answer my quandary. Consistently, over and over again. And here's how I know it's from God, because it is always accompanied with peace.
God's word brings peace into your life, even when your life is not at peace. He brings those things to your mind. There was a time recently that I went to God and I just said, God, I gotta hear from you. I gotta know what you gotta say about this. And there's just, I gotta know. And you want to know what he told me? He said, come back and see me again. Thanks, God. Appreciate that. You know, that's what? In a simple word, come see me again. Don't forsake your time with me. Don't be professional about your time with me. Spend time with me, and over time, we will work this out. God speaks to us by bringing his word back to us. The problem is so few people are in God's word anymore that God doesn't have anything to work with. Are we spending time in scripture? Well, I'm not really, but I'm just not hearing from God. That's why. It's an amazing way that God works in the world. It's an amazing way how he brings about his purpose within your life. And I will tell you, it's not just the answer. It's the process of discovery that is some of the most beautiful ways of knowing and learning about God. God is going to take you through a process of discovery. If you are not reading scripture, you are not going to hear from God. I can't say it any more plainly. And I say that with all the grace I can muster, because we all have times that we're just so focused on other things. But if you're not spending time in scripture, you will not hear from God. If people are coming to you for wisdom and guidance, if you're trying to parent your children, if you're trying to help your friend, and you are not spending time in scripture, you cannot give the wisdom that brings life and purpose, because that comes most of the time through his word. He brings it to your mind. And when he brings it to your mind, what floods with it is the peace that this is God. It's a wonderful thing. It's a thing that I take everything away, and if that is still there, the peace of God and knowing that you're communicating with him, then that is enough. That is enough. Third way that God speaks, and it's really in combination with the first two, but the third one, the way that God speaks, is literally through the Holy Spirit. God has given you his spirit to communicate with you. It's an amazing thing. Scripture says so much about this. This is what Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8 says. It says, for he finds fault with them when he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. If you'll remember, this was the covenant, and that they began the communion was literally an example of a covenant that God made with them from the Exodus. He brought them out of Egypt and he said, I want you to remember what I have done. And so they drank the juice and they ate the bread, and the bread was unleavened bread. We don't use unleavened bread here today. We're not legalistic about that, but it was unleavened bread because it signified that God had provided for their needs as they walked through the desert. When Jesus was about to be crucified, he said, you have been celebrating the delivery from Egypt for all of this time, but I want you to know I'm about to give you a deliverance that makes that pale in comparison. And it's not just for you, it's for the whole world that would receive it. And that's where we get breaking the bread and drinking the juice, being the sacrifice of his sacrifice and a covenant. That's what we're talking about here, that old covenant versus this new covenant through Jesus. Verse 9 continues, it says, for they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my laws into their minds. What? I will put my laws into their minds. I will put them in there. I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. I will write this on your minds. I will write this on your hearts. You don't have to have somebody come tell you everything. I'm going to speak them into you. Are we listening? 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it warns us in this way. It says, don't quench the spirit. The Holy Spirit. Don't quench it. Don't stop it. Do you realize God can create everything, but we can stop his work in our lives. He can quench it. We find it over and over again. We can quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Follow his teachings. Abstain from the things he says to abstain from. Follow the things he says to follow. And the things that don't matter, this is my little addition here. The things that don't matter are the things that don't matter. Let them go. Follow his teachings. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. Now remember, he speaks to everyone for a point, an invitation to come and to know him. He goes beyond that at the point that you submit to his lordship and he is the savior of your life. And he begins to speak so much more into you then. For those that have not yet submitted to God and said, I need you to forgive me for my sins. I recognize you've given your life for me on the cross and I now submit to your lordship in my life. For those that have not yet come to this point, they're not going to have these things written into their hearts and minds. That happens after. But if you are a follower of Jesus, even if you think you are the worst one that ever walked the planet, I find, just an aside here, I find that the people who know God the least are rarely the ones who feel the worst about themselves. They recognize that God is having to cross incredible boundaries to forgive them for their sins. But you can't stay there. You can't stay there and beat yourself up. We literally live in a victim-rich society. Do you realize that? I mean, it is amazing to me what we celebrate in this world. It is amazing how young people celebrate injuries. I mean, your knee may not be messed up, but you got to have the coolest knee brace on at the next, teen event. It amazes me. We got to get ourselves taped up in some incredible patterns. Listen, if you want to tape yourself up from this therapeutic tape that has no benefit, proven no benefit whatsoever, do like a Journey Church thing on there. That would be worth something. We celebrate injury. Oh, look at me. How are I? Listen, we are conquerors through Jesus Christ. Let us not walk around like we are defeated. Let him speak to us and let us not quench the Spirit. Let me give you some real practical ones here as I close. Another way that God speaks is quite honestly through others. Not all others, but many others. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Do you have people, trustworthy people, who have demonstrated wisdom within their lives? They've demonstrated they can hear the voice of God that are speaking into yours? I find that women are much better at this than men. Because women, they don't have the need to be completely self-sufficient. What I say goes. Well, that's not working out real well most of the time, is it? We talk about when we do weddings and I do premarital counseling, we talk about, should a wife really submit to a husband? You darn tootin'. But the verse right before that section says, submit one to one another. We submit to each other. See, submission is a part of maturity. Submission is not a part of weakness. The wisdom needed when you're submitting is to know that you're submitting to the right place, to the right people, to the right wisdom. Who are you submitting to? We all submit to somebody. You submit to popular opinion. You submit to popular culture. You submit to your most convincing friend. You submit to somebody. Our kids must submit to some degree to us. We give them some freedom, but there is a level that they are going to submit to us. And I will never apologize for that. Because whenever they reach the age that they are no longer submitting to me, I want them to be able to make wise choices on their own. In the same way, we must submit to God. And if we are not going to submit to him, we will never hear his voice. But be careful about the people that are speaking into your life. real quickly, and I'm just gonna rattle these off because this is really all I wanted to share with you this morning. God also speaks with authority. He is the creator. Remember the conversation that Job had with him? I mean, God has had so many of these conversations with me that it's embarrassing how many he's had with me. Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I formed the foundations of the world? I know God, but I do know a little about this. Really? God speaks with authority. God also speaks with wisdom. Who else could better navigate the waters of our lives than the one who gave us life, than the one who gave his son so that we can truly live? Who better? And I just want to say this because I have found this true in my life, and I know many of you would attest to the very same thing. God will speak with dependability. You can count on him. You can count on what he says. You cannot count on him to give you everything you want. But you can count on what he does give you will be good and worthy and enough. Where are you today? Is God speaking to you? I find with a lot of moms, and another reason I wanted to share this today is I find with a lot of moms a lot of insecurity because there are so many issues to navigate in the world, and there's so much insecurity in that God does not want you to have. You need to be hearing from God. On the nights that you're not sleeping because you're worried about your child, you need to hear from God. At the times that your child comes to you and gives you the worst news you could possibly imagine and you're trying to figure out how to deal with it, you need to be able to hear from God. When you're going in the car on a weekend like every other weekend and you're just randomly talking about stuff, you need to be hearing from God and putting that into your kids. And if you're not a mom in this room, and there's a good number of you that aren't, especially a lot of guys, with a deep voice. You need to be hearing from God no matter who you are. And I want you to know that life comes by hearing from him. Last thing I want to share with you, bottom line for all this, if you listen, God will speak. If you listen, God will speak. For some of you, I'm going to pray for you. I don't know what your story is, but I'm going to pray for you that God will speak to you, that you will be listening. For some of you, you need that today. You need to hear him today. And let's go back. What's the primary way God speaks? Through what? Through Scripture. That may be where you need to start. If you're desperate for a word from God, you've got YouVersion. You've got your phone. I mean, you're on Facebook all the time. Get on YouVersion. Pull out a Bible. Pull out a book. I read almost everything exclusively electronically now, but there are times I just open a book up. There's just something that feels good about that. You can open a book up. If you will listen, God will speak. If you need to hear from him today, the most direct way to do that is to go to his word. If you're thinking, yeah, but that's a big book. I mean, I can't possibly read everything. This is where others come alongside as good counselors and they help you know where to go. Those who have been through these things before. I want you to know if you will listen, God will speak. We've got on the back table and really we got these for all the women in the room, those that are mothers and those that are not. We wanted you to all have one of these. This is really just a little book that speaks about hearing the voice of God. It's not the all in all. But it's just something if you want to continue to explore different ways God speaks. This is a little book by Priscilla Schreier. It's actually a Bible study she does. That's a little thing from it. But they're on the back table. Just pick one up and take it with you. And if we've got, if we've got enough, then take some for your friends as well. As a church, it's crucial that we are hearing from God. If we are not, we are just wasting time and energy. It is crucial that we are not just hearing from God, we are sharing what we are hearing. Some of you have healed from some atrocious things, and God's word has brought you life. Him speaking into your life has brought you peace. And you're hiding it because
For some reason, we have this idea that if we let people know the amazing things God has done, they'll think less of us. But all the great things, not only will they trust God with, but they can experience that in their lives too. God wants us to share our experience of healing. Share His words to us. But let it be said that we are a people that seek His voice. But not just that we seek it, but we hear it. Would you pray with me? Father, God, I pray for those in the room today that they are desperate to hear a word. They are so struggling right now that they just, the thought of doing anything else, to study, to read, to talk about it, it's just overwhelming. They are desperate to hear from you. I pray that you would give them the strength to hear you. I pray for those that are in the room and you are so clearly trying to speak to them, but they are choosing not to listen. I pray that you would help them to overcome their pride, their ego, their self-sufficiency, their individuality. They would be open to your words. God, I pray for us as a church that we would hear from you. Because if we're not hearing from you, none of this is worth it. Because you are the leader of this church. And we follow you. I thank you for all the incredible examples in the room, those that sacrifice so much. I thank you for the moms in the room that, I mean, they give everything they've got. They give every free moment they have. Pray that you would not just bless them for that, but that they would see the fruit of their labor. Pray for those in the room, and this is just a very difficult day. It's a difficult day because maybe they've been trying to have kids and haven't been able to, or maybe they've lost their mother, or maybe they've lost someone else in the family, and the family gathering is just not the same. God, I know that your voice brings peace in the most difficult circumstances. Father, I pray that your voice would bring peace to them. Father, I ask that you would just forgive me and all of us in this room, that we know that at times we have turned away from the wisdom you have given us. Forgive us for that. Give us the strength to follow you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.